Here in Colossians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so notice here, right at the beginning, who was Paul writing this letter to? To the saints, right? And the faithful brethren in Christ and who are in Colossae as we read there. And so, first of all, who were these saints? Okay, who are these saints? And we might have some misconceptions on who those saints were. They weren't statues. Paul's writing this to, okay? They weren't these stained glass pictures of people. No, they were real people, okay? And there's the best way to kind of understand who these people were is by simply defining the word. Okay, so let's do that. You know, the original Greek word here that has been translated as saints in English and seito, I believe, in seito in Nihongo is the word hagios, okay? This word hagios, which is actually the same Greek word that we translate for holy. Interesting. Okay? Same word that we translate. Same Greek word. But, you know, this word, this Greek word, the fundamental core meaning of this word is actually, you'll be surprised maybe, is different. Bottom line, what it really comes down to is that we're different, you see? For example, you know, a first century temple back then was considered to be hagios, holy. And why? Because it was different, right, from the other buildings. Example, a Christian, and us as Christians, are holy, are considered saints. Why? Because we are different from the world, aren't we? We're very different. Okay, so the word hagios implies something that has been separated or set apart for God, you see? And so, therefore, it is, and we are, whatever that thing is that's separated and set apart from God, is different. Very different. And the minute that we dedicate our lives onto the Lord, we become different. We became different, didn't we? I hope so. I hope so. We really did become different. We became different. Saints, didn't we? We became saints. We became holy. We became separated unto the Lord, you see? Now, right now, some of you are kind of looking at me kind of funny, and you're saying, ah, Joseph, chotto. Maybe, you know, as you look at yourself and you're probably looking at me and, you know, you're looking around at people and you're kind of thinking, well, I don't know, you know, if everybody here looks really holy or is kind of not really saintly, you know, I don't think so. And, you know, we're different. That's for sure. I'm really different. Okay. But are we holy? I mean, if you saw me walking down the street, would you think, oh, there's a saint? You might be thinking something else, probably, right? Especially with my skateboard, you know. That guy's weird. Old guy with a skateboard. Weird. Hige guy. And so, yeah, there's something different. But the reality is that we are separated. We are holy. We are called saints, you see. But are we different? Well, we are here. We are here right now, aren't we? We're here, right? We're not anywhere else. I hope you're not anywhere else. Come back. Come back. If you're someplace else, come back. There's something different about us right here, right now, isn't there? What? We're here. How many of our friends and our co-workers and our neighbors and even some of our family members like to go to church on Sunday morning? You see? There's something different about us. And you're thinking, okay, Joseph, all right, well, that's great. Yes, we're here, and yes, we're trying, but I'm not really convinced that any of us are really that holy or are saintly. Well, what exactly are you expecting? Are you expecting us all to have, like, little wings and halos or something? I mean, is that what you're expecting? For all of us to be all perfect little angels? None of us are perfect angels, and we know that. That's why this is so funny. Especially me. Because you know, none of us are perfect. Where do we think we are anyways? Heaven? We're not in heaven, are we? The church is a place where the saints gather. This is true. Okay? This is true. But the church is more like a hospital. Okay? It's more like a hospital to help heal the saints from the wounds we have received from Satan, from this world, even from ourselves, our own self-inflicted wounds that we've received throughout the week, even this morning. We come to hear the Word of God and to be cleansed and to be healed and to be loved and to be encouraged. You see, the church is a hospital for the saints. And the reality is, as I've heard it said before, and please don't get offended, but if you ever find that perfect church, get out. Because you just messed it up. Kind of rude, eh? But guess what? I would mess it up even worse. We would all mess it up. Why? Because we're messed up. We're sinners. There's nothing perfect about us aside from the perfect and precious blood of Jesus that covers us and washes us and cleanses us from all sin. You see, there is no perfect church here on this earth. Are any of us perfect? No. Don't raise your hand. You'd be calling God a liar. But the question is, are we willing? Are we willing to be perfected? We're not perfect, but are we willing to be perfected in the process of being perfect? Are we willing? That's the question, you see. And sure, we've all messed up. We have all failed. That's true. We have all fallen very short. I understand. But are we willing to let God perfect us? If so, then as I mentioned last week, as you remember, as bad as we have messed it up, God is able to fix it up as long as we are what? Willing, you see? As long as we are willing to give it up, to give it to God? Are we willing to give up our will in our way? Are we willing to let God have His way in our life? By getting out of the way? If so, then we can confidently say, I am who I am by the grace and the will of God, like we were talking about last week. And once we are confident enough to be able to say this, to be able to give it all to God and let Him have His will in my life be done, we can be just as confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, He's faithful to complete the work He started within us. You know, the second God began this good work in us, in our lives, was the second that we became saints. The second we became holy and separated unto God. The day we became very different, I hope, you see. So, looking back here at Colossians, it says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, right? Who are in Colossae. Let's look at this for a second. Notice, it says, the faithful brethren. And in Paul addressed Timothy, right, in first verse 1 as what? Our brother, right? So, question, have you ever heard anybody in the church, maybe in your churches that you've gone to before and even here, have you ever heard anyone in the church call each other a brother or a sister? Right? Hey, Sister Cammy, right? Brother Frederick. Oh, right. We call each other that. Why do Christians do that anyways? You ever wonder? You see, it's because God is our Father. He's our Father, and we've been born again as Christians. And that's, of course, when we come to faith, being born again, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You know, He comes into our hearts and we become born again into the family, the universal family of God, right? And when we have been born again, this common relationship we have, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we inherit this. And so it was termed, and it was used as a term throughout the Scriptures, throughout the New Testament. We see it over and over. And throughout even the world today, we still use it, right? Wherever we go, hey, brother, and you'll hear it sometimes. And it's a term that describes what? This family. This family that is bound together by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the love of our Father, God who is in heaven. And by the communion of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. There's something. There's three things. There's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit binding us all together in love and family. And these relationships. That's why it's always so hard to say, okay, enough fellowshipping. Let's get on with the study before service. We just love to fellowship and love one another. Now, I mean, think about it. Look around. Are there many places in this world that you can find such a wide variety of nations and different tongues and nationalities, you see? Here's something about us as we come together that's very unique and different from the world, right? We're smiling at one another. We are greeting one another. We're loving one another. And all the while, not even really knowing each other. And you're not even getting paid to do it. Very different than what you would see in the world, isn't it? And why do we do this? Because we are Christians. That's why. Because we're Christians. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. We're students of the Word of God, aren't we? Notice what Jesus said, and you know it very well, I hope. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. He says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The Apostle John, he said this. He said, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And he continues, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You see, these are the standards. This is what we're being taught. This is what makes us Christians so different from this world. You see, we are called to love one another as brothers, as sisters, as family. Even better than our family in many cases, I believe. Notice the exhortation from the Apostle Peter. He says this, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as what? Brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. He continues. He says, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this. You want to know what you're called to? You're called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Did you know, and I'm very curious if you guys knew this or not, but did you know it's a blessing to be a blessing to others? It's a blessing to be a blessing. And you don't have to take my word for it. You know, take God's word for it. It's a blessing to be a blessing. If we begin to apply these truths to our lives, then we will inherit blessings, the Bible says. What do we have to lose? Right? What do we have to lose? We only have blessings to gain. For example, just yesterday, okay? Actually, the day before, there were some kids in our neighborhood, and I went out to take out the trash, and they saw me, and when people see me, they kind of stop for a second. It's a gaijin, you know? and all these little kids, I go, hey, what's going on? You know, and they got excited, and I start playing with them, and so I take them, and I throw them in the air, and I spin them around, you know? And then they just love it. Ah! We go crazy. So I'm out there playing with the kids. I say, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to play with the kids. And I start playing with these kids. And we're having fun. And the next day, yesterday, you know, I'm studying for my message, getting ready for Saturday night, and doing my PowerPoint and stuff. And ding dong, the kids were there. And they're like, where's the ball guy? Can we play some more? You know? Amy's, oh, no, Jotto, he's a little busy, whatever. But she's trying to hold on. She goes, I'll tell you what. I'm going to make some cupcakes. Come back in a half hour. Okay. And all of a sudden, like 3 minutes go by and ding dong. Are they ready? And so Amy's trying to divert their minds off of playing with the ball guy, you know, and so by bribing them with cupcakes, you know. And so they come, they leave, and then I make my exit. I go to church. Okay. okay, I come here to church. And then I get a text from Amy. And the text says, you know, Joseph, the kids came over and they wanted to come inside. And that's kind of weird, right? Oh, so she leaves the door open, you know, and they come inside and she's okay. And they wanted to come inside because it was really cold yesterday, right? So they come inside. They probably just want to know what a gaijin house looked like, right? But they come inside and Amy gets the cupcakes and, you know, it smells so good, right? And they get the frosting, and all the kids got the frosting, and they start putting the frosting on their cupcakes, and of course the cupcakes were too hot, so the frosting was melting all over the place. But the kids didn't care, they were having the best time, and they were so excited to get the cupcakes and go bring them to their families, and look, you know. And Amy texts me, you know, all this, and before I got to church, I saw it, and I responded with a big happy face, right? The one with the big smile like that, the little happy face. And then right next to it, I put a big sad face. Why? I missed it. But the point is this. Did you know it's a blessing to be a blessing to others? Did you know that you will inherit blessings when we're a blessing to others? Amy was so blessed. The day before I was so blessed. Just to take the time to bless others. When Gene cooks for me, I'm so blessed. Thank you, Gene. You know, when we bless others, we are blessed, aren't we? You see? And so, do you think... Oh, sorry, there are my cupcake pictures. Got excited with this thing. But do you think that, you know, having compassion and love for others is so bad? These things aren't bad, are they? They're not bad. And do you think that being tender-hearted and courteous to one another is so hard? No. It isn't hard, is it? We can do it, can't we? But are we willing to at least try? That's the question. Now, what about not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings? Oh, returning evil for evil? Eh? Kurukuruba. Chotto crazy, eh? When someone reviles us, when they criticize us in an angry, abusive, insulting manner, which what this word means, we're to bless them? That's crazy. There's no way, we might say. Impossible. Moody. You know, Jesus was once teaching about, you know, how one was to enter the kingdom of God. And the things he was saying seemed just as crazy then to those who were listening. They even went as far as to say, you know, if this is what it takes, and who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? If this is what it takes, who then can be saved? And you know, Jesus responded here. He said, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. But not with God, for with God all things are possible. as difficult, as impossible as it may seem to us, all things are possible. All things are possible with God. You see? Remember, He is never going to instruct us to do anything in His Word, as we've been reading, right, that He Himself is not willing to help us do. Okay? He will not even let us be tempted beyond which we are able to bear. Notice 1 Corinthians. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. I love that part. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, Jesus is the way of escape. As the old saying goes, at least we say it in English, where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And spiritually speaking, this is very true. You see, if it's God's will, then there is a way. If it's God's will, there is a way. We just need to get out of the way and let God have His way. You see, we're the problems. We're the problem. You see, when someone says, there's just no way, impossible, Moody, I believe it is often because there is just no way they are willing to do it. There's no way they are willing to even try to do it. They are simply not willing. You see, we want it our way, don't we? We want to do it our way. We say, our way or the highway, we say. I don't know how they translated that, but our way or the highway, we say. And what? How does the old song say? Franco Sinatra, right? I did it. That was terrible. I did it my way, right? Some of you know the song. Very famous. We all want to do it our way, don't we? And so, where there's no will, there's simply no way. Where there's no will, there's no way. I know, chotto. Kawaiso ne. If someone has simply made up their mind and are not willing to do something, that's it. There's no way. It's impossible. And you can go through and encounter every excuse that that person may have to not want to do something, right? And when they finally run out of excuses, you know what they're going to say? I just don't want to. Bottom line, through all the excuses and the reasons that people give why they don't want to do it, it's only because they don't want to do it. That's what it all comes down to. They're simply not willing. Where there's no will, there's no way. If you have no will, no desire to live your life for Christ, then there's no way you will. If you have no will to stop sinning, then there's no way you will. If you have no will to forgive others the way Jesus has forgiven us, then here's no way you will. You see? And we can go on and on and on and on, can't we? all comes down to this. Your wife, your husband, your mother, your friends. No one, as much as they try, they will not be able to persuade you. And God Himself, God Almighty Himself will never make us do anything against our own will. He's given us free will, folks. There's some that would argue that. But let me tell you, I argue against it according to the Word of God, that He's given us free will. He's not willing that any should perish. Oh, that's so true. But that all should come to repentance. We need to repent. We need to be willing to repent. He's given us our free will. We either want to change or not. We either want to listen to God and obey His Word or not. We either want to receive His love and His grace or not. We either want to go to heaven or not. But God isn't going to force any of us to do anything against our own will. He has granted us free will. It's our choice. And where there's no will, if you have no will, then there's no way. Colossians, as we continue. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see these words, grace and peace. Grace and peace are so often coupled together over and over throughout the New Testament. We find it throughout all the epistles almost. And they're always in this order right here, because we cannot know what? The peace of God. Eric knows this, right? We cannot know the peace of God until we first experience the grace of God. I only say that because you're a Bible student. God's grace has been defined as unmerited, undeserved favor. You see, we haven't earned it. We don't even deserve it. Ephesians 2:8-9 show this very clearly. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, grace is very different than justice and very different than mercy. Justice is getting exactly what we deserve. Getting exactly what we deserve. That's what justice is. Mercy is not getting the bad that we deserve. Not getting the bad that we deserve. Hey, Bonnie, I got a little while to go. Just so you know. Is not getting what? The bad that we deserve. And then notice grace is getting the good that we do not deserve. This is what grace is. Is getting the good we do not deserve. And when we discover the fact that God has accepted us as we are, weak as we might be, failing as we might be, stumbling and faltering as we might be, but yet knowing that God still loves. God still loves and accepts sinners like you and me. Wow. Wow. That is when we will start to understand the grace of God and what it is all about. You see, when we realize that God has accepted us by His grace, that is when the peace of God is able to come upon us. We're able to receive it. Because we have realized that it isn't something we had to work for. It isn't something we had to strive and struggle to try to create for ourselves. We realize that it was not our own works of righteousness which we have done, but by His grace that I'm loved and I'm accepted by God. He loves me just as I am. Notice Romans. There. Notice Romans. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. So understand, there is nothing I can do to make God love me more. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more. And there's nothing I can do to make God love me less. Right? You've heard it before. And when we come to this realization, that is when the glorious peace of God begins to fill our heart. As Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, I love this verse. No need to be troubled. Nor afraid. No need to struggle, to strive, to work, to be accepted by God. All we have to do is simply trust Him at His word. You see? And receive the love. Receive the grace, the peace that He desires to give us. And there are so many today that are looking for peace within themselves. They're looking. They're searching. But let me tell you, until they have peace with God, until they have peace with God, it's impossible to have peace within themselves. It's impossible. We can't have peace when we are at war with God. We can't have peace when we're at war with God. You know, if you want peace, well, let me tell you something. You're not going to win any battles against God, okay? As much as we fight God, we're not going to win any battle. So you might as well surrender. Lay down your weapons, right? Your self-will, your rebellion, your pride. And surrender and just give up. And simply say, you know, God, please. Please, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Here I am. I surrender all to You. And by His grace, we're forgiven. We're forgiven. We're no longer in rebellion. No longer fighting against God. You see? And oh, what a peace. What a peace there is to follow when we receive the peace of God. When we stop fighting Him. And you've heard this before. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. And it's that simple, folks. It's that simple. And so Paul, you know, he continues here. He says, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And you know, this grace and this peace that God has offered then, He offers today as well. He offers to every one of us. But once again, it's our choice, isn't it? It's our choice. We know that God is willing. We know that. God is so willing. He loves us so much. And He wants to bless us. But He isn't going to force. He's not going to force us. He's not going to force His love on us. He's not going to force us to be blessed. You're going to be blessed whether you like it or not. He's not going to force us. He's given us free will. But what's our will? What's our will today? What are we willing to do? What are we not willing to do? What is your will? If you have a will, know this. Jesus is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. And if it's God's will, then there is a way. But are we willing to get out of the way and let God have His way? Is the big question. But the opposite is true, right? Where there's no will, there's simply no way. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this day You've given us. And Lord, we've seen Your grace, the peace, the blessings that You want to give us so freely. Yet at the same time, we see how our own will, our own stubbornness, our own unwillingness can keep us from receiving all that which You would just love to bestow upon us. Please, God, help us stop fighting You for our own good. Help us be true to You, to ourselves, to what the word Christian even implies, that we would be known for our love. And by this, all would know we are Your disciples. If we let our light so shine before men, they will see our good works and glorify You who are in heaven. Please, Lord, help our lives shine brightly for Your glory. Help us. If You're willing today, please know God is able. Just need to surrender. Just ask God to forgive you. And He will. And He'll make you different. Not in the bad sense, but in the good sense. He'll set you apart. Make you holy. And begin that perfect work. As you begin to be perfected for His glory. Oh, what a joy. Thank You, Father, for this day. As we give You the praise and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Arigato gozaimasu.